Let's read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. We were just singing a beautiful song about more love to thee, O Christ. Tonight we're going to study about a lady who dearly loved the Lord, and she showed it. And what a wonderful example she set before others. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. As we study this text of scripture, we're especially concerned with the Lord's statements in verses 8 and 9. In verse 8, Jesus commended a woman for doing something that she was capable of doing. I've always found that statement to be very interesting. Jesus said, she has done what she could. That's quite a statement that can be made about someone. And Jesus made it about this particular woman. She did something she was capable of doing. But then in verse 9, Jesus said that this woman's good work would be spoken of for a memorial of her. In other words, her good deed will always be remembered. And that brings us to the theme of our lesson. Mary's good deed will always be remembered. To help us fully appreciate, though, what happened on this occasion, we first need to look at the setting. We need to look at what happened in this proper context, and we want to consider what's revealed in some additional passages. We need to keep in mind that for a while, Jesus had been showing what would happen to him. Look at Mark chapter 10. And let's read a few verses beginning at verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him, and he related that information to his followers. Notice that they were on their way to Jerusalem, where all these things would take place. Then as chapter 14 begins, that is Mark chapter 14, the time for those things to take place was very near. According to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 14, the leaders of the Jewish people were plotting to take the life of our Lord. Chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. So Jesus and his followers had been heading toward Jerusalem, where he would be arrested, condemned, and abused, and eventually crucified, but then he would rise on the third day. As chapter 14 begins, though, notice that the Jewish leaders were plotting to take the life of our Lord. It's very important that we understand what was taking place. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him, knew all the details. Did he avoid going to Jerusalem? No, that's exactly where he went because he knew that was the Father's will. Now, there are some additional details given to us in the Gospel of John. So let's turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and let's read verses 1 through 8. I was blessed to study the Gospel of John on two different occasions when I was in school. And the teacher brought out a point of information that was very helpful. As you examine Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will see that the information found in those books is quite similar. But then the Gospel of John was written sometime later. About 92% of the information found in the Gospel of John is not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I found that to be a very interesting statistic. John supplied some additional details that are not found in the other Gospel accounts. I think we will see that to be the case as we read these verses. Notice how some information is revealed in the Gospel of John that's not found in the account that we read in the book of Mark. John 12, let's start at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. All of this is important information that helps us understand the setting for what we're going to consider from primarily Mark chapter 14. According to verse 3 of Mark 14, Jesus was in Bethany. Bethany was very near Jerusalem. He was in the home of a man named Simon, and he was there to have a meal. There happened to be a family present that all three members of this family were very close to our Lord. They loved him, and he loved them. I'm referring to Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. According to John 12 and verse 2, Jesus was at the table with Lazarus. But Martha was serving. So Lazarus was at the table with our Lord. Martha was busy serving. Remember, they were in the home of this man for a meal. Now, we would expect Martha to be serving. We also read about Martha and Mary. They were sisters in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, this is a different occasion, but Jesus was present. There were a number of people there, and Martha was very concerned that Mary was listening to our Lord as he was teaching. And she rebuked the Lord. She wanted him to tell Mary to help her serve. And, of course, Jesus, in his own way, kindly rebuked her and put her in her place. And he highly commended Mary for choosing the good part. There was plenty of time to serve the guests, but the time to listen to the Lord teach was limited. I can almost see Mary seated at the Lord's feet, just hanging on every word that he had to say. And then her sister had to offer those words of reproof. But Jesus took care of that situation. He highly commended Mary for what she did. She chose the good part. But Mary, on the occasion that we read about in Mark chapter 14, was about to do something else that would never be taken away from her. Now, Mark doesn't tell us, but John tells us that Mary was the woman who poured this expensive ointment on our Lord. Now, Mark tells us that Mary poured the ointment on the Lord's head. John tells us that Mary also poured it on the Lord's feet, and then she wiped his feet with her hair. Now, here we need to offer a word of caution. When we study about what Mary did, we need to avoid confusing Mary with the woman who also anointed the Lord's feet that we read about in Luke chapter 7. That was a different occasion. A different woman was involved. Now, she's identified as a sinner, but she received a blessing that day. The Lord said that her faith had saved her, and he told her to go and sin no more. We must not confuse these two ladies. Mary, who was the sister of Martha and Lazarus, is the woman involved in Mark chapter 14 and John chapter 12. It's unfortunate, but everyone did not appreciate Mary's act of kindness. Mary's service to the Lord was considered to be a waste. Isn't that sad? And the suggestion was made that this ointment could have been sold and the proceeds could have been given to the poor. I'm not sure exactly how much 300 pence would have been, but whoever made this suggestion considered that to be money that would be better off given to the poor. Now, that suggestion actually came from Judas. Now, John is the one who relates that information to us. He also showed that Judas did not really care for the poor. John says he had the bag, that is, he was the treasurer, and he took care of the money that was placed into the treasury for them. John also identified Judas as a thief. It's one thing I really appreciate about John. He doesn't beat around the bush. He tells things the way that they are. Well, there were some who were murmuring against the Lord. Now, these are the Lord's disciples murmuring against Mary. But while some were murmuring against her, Jesus was pleased with what Mary did. He told the disciples to leave her alone. You see, they would always be able to help the poor, but Jesus would only be with them for a short time. He commended Mary for doing what she could do. I'm confident that there were quite a number of people who could have placed this ointment on the Lord's body. But Mary was the one who did it. Jesus commended Mary for doing what she could do. Then he made that very special statement about her in verse 9. I'll read it again. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You suppose that Jesus knew at that time that this information would be recorded in the Bible and that it would be preached for all time? It seems that that's a reference to that. That's quite a statement. Everyone in the world would have the opportunity to know about the good deed that Mary did. Now, did she do it for that purpose? No, she did not. She was showing an act of kindness to the Lord. Jesus was pleased with what she did. He commended her, and then he said that her good deed would always be remembered. Well, that's what happened on this occasion. And I was reflecting on these particular passages, and there have been a number of occasions when I've been asked to speak at memorial services and funeral services for ladies that I have known. And it would be hard for me to determine which text of Scripture I've used the most often. Many times I've conducted services based on Proverbs chapter 31, where King Lemuel gave a description of a virtuous woman. But there have also been a number of occasions when I've used these verses from the book of Mark. And I've tried to emphasize the fact that Mary did what she could do. I don't know of a greater statement that could be made about someone than that. Well, it's very uplifting and very encouraging. Let's make a few points of application. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We need to make a point from several verses. We want to read a few verses beginning at verse 6. Romans 12, beginning at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. We learn from these verses that the Lord wants his people to do what we're capable of doing to the very best of our ability. He mentions a number of gifts in verses 6, 7, and 8. Those who are blessed with these talents and abilities are to use them to the glory of God, to do the very best that they can in using those gifts and those talents and those abilities. So the Bible teaches us that the Lord wants us to do exactly that. Also, we might consider what's written in the parable of the talents. The master in that particular parable blessed his servants with various amounts of his goods. He entrusted his goods to the care of his servants. And then later he reckoned with them on how they put his goods to use. He blessed the man who had been given 5 talents. He blessed the man who had been given 2 talents. But the man who had been given 1 talent was cursed. Why? Because he did not use what his Lord gave him. Now, he wasn't responsible for doing what the 2-talent man could do. He wasn't responsible for doing what the 5-talent man could do. But he was responsible for doing what the master gave to his care. He was afraid. He hid his money in the earth, and he tried to give it back to the master when he reckoned with him, but it was too late. He was cursed. So there are a number of passages which teach us that the Lord wants us to do what we're capable of doing to the very best of our ability. When we do that, it's hard for us to imagine this, but we need to keep it in mind. When we do these things, we're actually performing good works on the Lord as Mary did. In Matthew 25 and verse 40, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." So, as we use our talents and our abilities in the Lord's service, he's aware of it. But even though we might be assisting someone else, it's as if we're assisting the Lord. That's what Jesus said. The Bible also teaches in Hebrews 6 and verse 10 that God will remember the good works that we do. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Well, Mary illustrates how serving the Lord has the potential to influence many people. Wouldn't it be interesting to know how many people over the last 2,000 years have read about what Mary did from the Gospel of Mark? I'd hate to have to try to put a number on that number, put a figure on that number. But I believe a lot of people have read the book of Mark. And whenever the book of Mark has been read, as well as the Gospel of John, we're reminded of what Mary did. It's hard to imagine for such an unassuming woman as Mary did something that the whole world has known about. Now, she didn't do it for that purpose, but that's what happened. Well, Mary's influence has spread throughout the whole world, and her influence is going to last as long as these passages are read. What we need to do is be encouraged by Mary's example. Now, last week, we based our lesson on something that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount concerning the value of good works. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, those are the verses that we studied in our last lesson last Sunday. I believe that Mary's example will motivate us to always practice the Lord's instructions that he gave in those verses. What did Mary do? She let her light shine. How did she do it? By doing a good work on behalf of the Lord. Now, was everyone pleased with that? No, there were some who murmured against her, but I know this, the Lord was pleased with it, and that's what's important. I learned a long time ago that whenever you're endeavoring to serve the Lord, you can't please everyone because some people cannot be pleased. What we need to be concerned about is pleasing the Lord. That's what's of utmost importance. Well, Mary did that. I like to picture what that must have been like when this woman came and placed that ointment on the Lord's body. I don't like to think about it, but there were some who murmured against her. I also learned a long time ago that whenever you're trying to use your talent to serve the Lord, there will be some who won't like it. They will even murmur. However, what's really important is sticking with it, not giving up. The Lord will be pleased. He will remember it. And you never know what kind of influence you just might have on someone else. I look forward to meeting Mary one day. I'd like to sit down and talk with her. I'd like to commend her for what she did. And as I'm assuming she was a young woman, I don't know very much about her because not much is revealed to us in the Bible about her. But she did a good deed on behalf of the Lord that will always be remembered. And her influence goes throughout the entire world for all time. Now, you can't beat that. That's widespread influence, the whole world for all time. Well, we need to be encouraged by what Mary did and always endeavor to let our light shine before men by doing good works.